So we have been in this series called The Resurrected Life that we are bringing to a conclusion next week. It happens to be on Pentecost Sunday, so we're excited about that. If you don't know what Pentecost Sunday is, you'll learn about that in a few minutes. That's okay, but it's a time of celebration in the life of the church. It marks the week, the time that the Holy Spirit came to all believers and began to indwell us. It's a really exciting, incredible celebration. And so we are celebrating that next week. But in this week, we have talked about a lot of different things leading up to this. What does it mean to live the resurrected life, right? And it started out on Easter when we said we didn't just want to stay stuck at the cross where Jesus paid the price for our sins, and so we don't have to walk in death. And that's amazing and incredible, but we want to walk in the full resurrected life of the empty tomb, where Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. And so today, we're going to talk about what it means to be empowered for witness, because we've talked a lot in these last few weeks about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit and what it means to walk in the power of the Spirit, and that we learned last week, or we re-emphasized last week, that it's not about pursuing the power, it's about pursuing the Spirit. It's not about the things that get done, it's about the who that does them. And so today we want to talk about what it is. So if the power is not for our own personal kingdom building, and the power is not to bring accolades to us, what is this empowerment of the Spirit for? And how we are empowered, first and foremost, to witness. Now, we're going to turn to the words of Jesus. We've been doing that the whole time. Like, what does Jesus have to say on the topic? And then we're going to go from there. So what is the promise? And then how do we see that as a practice as it moves forward in the New Testament church in Acts? So I actually want to invite you guys to read with me on this whole Spirit-empowered thing. I want to invite you to read with me Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Y'all, are you guys awake this morning? Are you challenged, little allergies happening, or just some, like, everybody's really chill this morning, and that's okay, but I need your big girl boy reading voices on. So let's read together, Acts 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All right, so Jesus is talking to the disciples, and I want you to put yourself in the place of the disciples. Because we have the benefit of the New Testament. We have all our church history and church tradition, and whether we grew up in church or not, we've kind of heard, excuse me, I have hiccups. That is not good when you're preaching. All right, let's try that again. We have all the benefit of what we have learned about the Holy Spirit post-Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 plus years ago. But he's talking to the disciples before that. And he's told them, I'm going to send you a helper. It's going to be with you always, going to teach you, going to lead you. But this is all new to them. Like, this new role of the Spirit is new to them. So Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. In other words, I have just defeated death. This is resurrected Jesus talking. I have defeated death. I have all eternity. I have conquered the evil. Like, we are good. All that power is mine. And because I have that, here's what I'm empowering you to do with it. Now, there's a separate leader lesson here, that as leaders, when we get power, it is not for our own benefit. It's to empower the people that God has placed around us. And that's really important, but it's another sermon. So I'm going to move on. But he says, all power has been given to me. And here's where I want to break this verse down a little bit, because we read this verse in a specific way. I've heard this as a missions verse. I've heard it as all kinds of stuff. And so this is what we read when we read this verse. Can you put that up for me, Leonard, please? Should start with go. Getting there. All right, so what we read, go. Jesus says, all power has been given to me, so go. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. That's what we read. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says it like this. Next slide. As you go, wherever you go, make disciples. Baptize them and teach them. You see, the imperative is not on the go. The imperative is on the make disciples, make Christ followers. Walk with people to cause them to look like I look, Jesus says. And you're like, is that really such a big difference? I don't know. You tell me. If you're talking to your kids, does it matter if you say, go to your room, and while you're there, make your bed and do your homework and put away your laundry? Or you say to them, go to your room, do your homework. Make your bed, do your laundry. Says the medical school student. Shush, Caleb. Online family, he said he never did his homework. See, they're left out. It's not okay. All right, so it matters what it says. It matters where the imperative is. Because Jesus is saying, I have all the power. And I have a purpose for you in that power. And we have got to get the purpose right. And the purpose is in making disciples. The purpose is in the walking and talking and teaching. The purpose is in the witnessing. Are we okay? Yeah. And by the way, wherever we go, as we go, whether we go to Walmart or we go to Guatemala, whether we go to Target or Starbucks or Clarity. Our favorite mission field is Clarity. We might cop out on that one a little too much. The Holy Spirit might be prompting us to like move out just a tad more. But it says to go. And Jesus gives them this really important commission that is for all believers, for all time, because he says, I've commanded this to you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. And even the promise of God being with them to the end of the age is really a different concept, because in their time, the Holy Spirit came for a specific time and a specific place. So I actually want us to keep reading. I want to give you a little background. We're going to flip from Matthew over to Acts chapter 1, because Jesus gives the Great Commission, and then he spends 40 days walking around the earth as a resurrected Jesus, appearing to people, sharing knowledge with them, teaching them, ministering to them, and really just letting himself be seen so that the truth of the resurrection, the resurrected life, can spark the birth of the church. And so in verses 1 to 3 in Acts chapter 1, Luke is writing to Theophilus, and he says, you know, here's all the things I told you. We've told you about what Jesus did when he's here. I already told you that, how after his suffering he presented himself so that there would be all these proofs. And he talked with all the people, and he talked with the disciples a lot in this time. And so we pick up in verse 4, and it says this. Actually, I'm going to have you guys read with me. So let's get the story straight, and let's I don't know about y'all, but I've been running this morning, and I need to step it back for a minute, because I regularly invite you guys to be in the moment with Jesus, and that means I need to pause to be in the moment with Jesus. I don't want us to read this as a flat scripture, flat words on a page. I want to invite you into this moment where the resurrected Jesus is meeting with the disciples, and has been meeting with them and talking to them and telling them what's going to happen. And he's coming to the end of that time, and they don't know it yet. But this is what he's got to tell them. Read this with me. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So again, here you are, and you're the disciples. And Jesus has told you the Holy Spirit is going to come and indwell you and be your helper. And he's given this great commission that says that, you know, he'll be with you forever. But all that you know, all your history that you know about the Holy Spirit, is that the Spirit shows up for a particular place, for a particular person or people group for a particular time. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would anoint kings and judges, would anoint individuals, would anoint prophets. But just because the Spirit came didn't mean the Spirit was going to stay. The Spirit would then go. Everything was defined for a specific time. And Jesus is saying, no. See, everything here is about to change. Because I'm not just talking about a visitation from the Spirit. He says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive the Spirit, and it's not going to be able to be taken away from you. This is a new thing that I'm doing. And how blown would your mind be at that point? Yeah. I'm going to go on the greatest vacation ever for 2 weeks. Or I'm suddenly going to get to be a millionaire or billionaire and get to live my great vacation every day for the rest of my life. That's a really shallow example, but I don't think y'all are getting the magnitude of what's happening here. Like, I'm going to have the Spirit for a minute, for a situation, for a circumstance, or I'm going to have the limitless power of Jesus indwell me through the Holy Spirit for the rest of my life. It is no longer for a specific time or a specific people or a specific purpose. Jesus says, nope. The advocate is going to be with you forever, it says in John 14, 17. Baptized doesn't go away. Church, can I suggest that one of the problems with the Big C Church today is that we're still running around acting like the Holy Spirit is only for certain people, for a certain time, for a certain purpose. I don't need the anointing of the Spirit on 495. I might have to behave myself when I drove. Let me call the real praying saints when I'm up against something hard. My neighbor really is primed and ready for Jesus, but I'm terrified, so let me bring him to church and Pastor Rick or Pastor Jen can tell him about Jesus. All time. All believers, every situation, 24/7, 365. That's why we're digging deeper. That's why we're hanging out for a little bit in this. Because we really, truly did not plan this sermon series, and it has lined up with Pentecost. And I said in the beginning, there is nothing I want more than a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, that for us to be free from all the restrictions, like, I want to see God move, but we can't mess that up, y'all. We got to understand it first. All right. So Jesus blows their minds once again, and he tells them, John baptized with water, but you're in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want you to go, and I want you to pray, and I want you to listen. And the disciples get so excited. They are like, yes, and they once again, as usual, get it all wrong. They're like, Jesus, does that mean you're coming back? Like, the Holy Spirit's coming. Does that mean you're bringing the kingdom? Translation, okay, we thought you were going to take out the people ruling over us before the crucifixion, and you didn't do that, so that's okay. We understand it's about something more. But now are you going to restore Israel? But now is your kingdom going to come to earth, and it's going to be the end of all sin and all pain, and we're just going to benefit from that? Y'all are like, maybe you're exaggerating, Pastor Jen. No. They said, Lord, are you going this time to restore the kingdom? Are you going to do it? No. He reminds them, look, you don't know the day or the hour. That's not your place. It's a fairly sharp rebuke, actually, because Jesus has spent a lot of time teaching them they are co-heirs, they are brothers, they are friends, they are not just servants, they are on track with Jesus, but they get so excited about the end, and Jesus is like, you got nothing to do with the end. That is only the Father. And can I suggest that we need to pay attention to that? Because sometimes we get so happy, not us, not Bridge Church, nobody in this room, no, not ever, I am sure, but let's just call it the Big C Church all by itself, get so excited about what's happening in the church that we forget there's a world outside the church. And we just want the end to come so we can quit suffering, but there's all these people that don't know Jesus yet that need to know what it's like to walk through life in confidence of where they are headed, in confidence of who they are and whose they are. And when the disciples get excited, I'm like, okay, then you're going to restore Israel. Can we win now? Jesus is like, no. No, that's not what this is about. He sets them straight. He says, it's not for you to know the time or the hour. By the way, I thought, this is a random aside, but it's really pertinent to this text, and it kind of blew my mind when I first studied it, and I want you to understand, because you know, Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time or the date. Do you guys think like time, hour, day, like the hour of the day and the day of the week, and the right, like chronological? That's actually two very different words in the Greek. He says, it's not for you to know the chronos or the kairos. It's not for you to know the specific chronological time, but it's also not for you to know the kairos, which is the character or circumstance, the era, the season, the occasion, or the age. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention to what's going on around us in the world, but Jesus did not just say it's not for you to know the date and the minute on your watch. He said it's not for you to even understand the era. Only the Father does that. So now come back and focus on what's really important and what I'm empowering you for. And that's where I want us to hang out. Will you read? Okay, be in that moment. Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be baptized. You're going to receive a spirit that doesn't go away from you. And they lean in and are like, we're going to win. And he's like, nah, in the end, but that's not now. That's not your place. But here is what it's all about. Read with me, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, all the power I have for you, it's going to come upon you. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And it is not to win. You will receive power to be my witnesses. That means that they will receive power to give personal testimony about who Jesus is to them and what he has done for them. That is not just for those disciples. That is for us as believers. Jesus says, you have the Holy Spirit and you have all the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to testify to other people who I am and what I have done, not for the world, yes, bigger picture, but specifically to personally testify about what I have done for you, what I have done in your life. Not power to do signs and wonders. Yeah, signs and wonders are there. Do I want signs and wonders? Absolutely. But signs and wonders are a method to the witness. They are not the purpose. Not to have personal insights. Not to be the cat's meow. That's not why we have power from God. Jesus says we have power from the Holy Spirit. So that we can witness. So the challenge, church, whether you're in the room or online with us, is who are you talking to? And what are you talking to them about? You see, we have a lot to say in our culture. Social media amplifies it. We have all kinds of things to witness about. But I have to ask us, what are we witnessing for? Well, who are we witnessing for? Am I a bigger walking advertisement for my latest, greatest favorite cleaner? Or even my very favorite cardio combat class? Or my favorite coffee shop? or my favorite politician? Or am I a witness to what Jesus has done in my life? And if I answer the question, who or what am I witnessing for, and I answer Jesus, then the next question is, who am I witnessing to? Because in our 21st century North American minds, we can read Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the ends of the earth. Okay, cool. We're supposed to go everywhere. It gets back to Pastor Jen's go, wherever you go, as you go, just, you know, whatever. But we got to understand the context, because this is not a blanket statement. Jesus is giving a very specific direction here. Like, anybody ever wish stuff was more clear? Like, could it just be more clear? Could it be specific? I need some specifics. I get my crazy harebrained ideas, I might call them, or Holy Spirit-empowered ideas or whatever, and the staff is always like, details. We need some details, Pastor Jen. Like, you are painting this picture, and we need some specifics.
Amen.
Uh-huh, yeah. Amen is right, Pastor Jessica. And Jesus gives us some real specifics when we understand the context. For this group of Jews, Jesus says, Jerusalem. And that's the people that are near us and like us, like-minded people. Let me put it in some context. Some of you have been bringing friends that have deep church hurts. We reach out to friends that know Jesus but have been away from the church for a long time for whatever reason. They believe. They've got a foundational belief, but they need a church family. They need restoration. They need healing. That's awesome. That's our Jerusalem. People that are near us and like us have the same belief system. Jesus is absolutely, the Holy Spirit is empowering you to witness to them because he does not like crippled sheep. It's my interpretation. You know, this can be some of the hardest people to witness to because it's not just other believers. It's the people in our family, and it's our friends for 30 years who knew us before we knew Jesus. They knew the old ugly us. We might have gone to a few establishments together. And you're like, well, how do I tell them about Jesus? I was a jerk of a parent. How do I 10 years later tell my kids how awesome Jesus is and why they should follow Jesus? Because if you're actually a disciple, they will have seen the transformation in you. And that is the best witness and testimony that you can give. When you can look at your friend that you partied with and did all kinds of stuff that you are so glad Facebook didn't exist back then for. When you can look at them and they can go, but you're really different. That's the moment the Spirit has given you to go, here's why I'm different. Here's what Jesus did for me. Look, if that wasn't the thing that, well, no, I'm going to save that. Never mind. I'm going to. Move on. Okay, so Jesus says, give it to your Jerusalem. You're to be witnesses to your Jerusalem. But then he says, not just who's around your table, right? But then he says, your Judea and your Samaria. And those are people that are near to me, but different from me. They're people who are not in our normal sphere of influence. We don't interact with them every single day. They don't think like us. They don't maybe have the same belief system as us. In this context, you got to know the context, very specifically means they're not the same as ethnicity as us. They didn't grow up with the same values or the same traditions as us, but they're all around us. And Jesus says, you need to witness to them. You need to reach out to them. Outside our normal sphere of influence, but within our reach. Y'all, who do you know that doesn't have the same belief system as you, that maybe didn't grow up like you, that maybe the first reaction they have when they face a problem isn't to cry out to God, but they sure need to know God. They sure need a Jesus that can actually redeem them because everywhere they're going for redemption is not working. Who is that in your life? Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come upon us and give us power to witness to that person. You see, we can get, and I do mean the Big C Church. I'm not kidding. First of all, this is one of, I am so humbled. Pastor Rick and I are both so humbled to walk through life together with you guys. Because this is one of the most authentic, genuine, caring for the community group of people we have ever been a part of. But if we're not careful, the habit and the pattern of humans and of the Big C Church is once we have something great, we want people to come to us. Judea and Samaria isn't inside these walls. Judea and Samaria is out there. There's a reason we say we meet our community where they are at. Because there's a lot of people who are curious about God. There's a lot of people who want to know more but aren't going to ask. And they aren't going to walk in the door of the church. And by the way, if you hadn't been a Christian and nobody got a hold of you that knew you personally, if you had watched the news for the last 10 years, would you want to walk in the door of church? How would you feel about walking in the door of a church if you didn't have someone you actually trusted invite you in? Oh, George, they are quiet in here right now. We're empowered to reach our Judea and our Samaria. I was having a great conversation. Actually, John, would you come up here with me? Many of you know John Pesch. It's on. I think we don't have to. There we go.
I have to laugh. When the pastor tells you she's going to invite you up and ask you questions, that's a recipe for anxiety. So. Yes, I'm a sinner.
Saved by grace, like all of us, right? That's right. Amen. All right. All right. So I asked John, because we were talking this week, and you said a part of last week's message really took hold for you.
Right. It was a story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and I guess two things that really hit me was that Philip was sensitive to the calling of God and the calling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, an angel told him to go south, he went south. The Holy Spirit told him to walk beside the chariot. He walked beside the chariot. And as he was there, he heard the eunuch talking and heard where he was reading from, in Isaiah. And Scripture says that he started with that Scripture to share Jesus Christ. So it's kind of, again, about meeting people where they're at, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Not afraid to go up to the chariot, not afraid to listen to the prompt of the Spirit. Yeah. And that was a real personal message for you because you related it to something that happened in your own life and your own walk, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Years ago, when I was young, real young, I spent about 9 years, my passion was flying hang gliders. And so, It was really kind of an obsession. It was a lifestyle. And yet, my wife and I had been looking for a church, and we found this church, and we're in the church. And the pastor, kind of like Pastor Rick, will come up and he'll say, so are we going to see you Sunday? Are we going to see you Saturday? And that's kind of what he asked me. I can't remember what the event was. But I said, well, that depends on what the weather is. It depends on, if it's blowing 10 to 15 from the northwest, no, I won't be there. Because one of our major, all the ridges in Pennsylvania run northeast, southwest. So most of our sites face northwest.
So I'm going to pause you right there because I want us to catch this. John and Jody found a church, came to church when the weather wasn't in their favor for hang gliding.
Right. Yeah.
Believers, not disciples.
Yeah.
All right. And so then what was the change? What caused that shift in the wind, so to speak, where it wasn't all about hang gliding anymore?
When I said that to the pastor, his reaction wasn't judgmental. It wasn't condemnation. It wasn't, well, you really should be here. It was, well, I'd like to come out and see that. And So we arranged a day, and he drove up on his motorcycle, and he actually helped me launch off this 1,000-foot ridge. And just little by little, I guess that just really hit me, because he was meeting me where I was at, right? So I was living, like I said, it was a lifestyle. I was living this lifestyle, and I was going to the church when it suited me. But just that caring and that love to meet me where I was at, gradually I became more and more interested in what the church was doing and less interested in the hang gliding. It ended up, God worked it into the most powerful thing that I've probably been involved with in the church. So
amazing, John. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony with us. Believe me when I say it is not just words on a page. When we say as a church in our core values that we are committed to meeting our neighbors where they are at, creating opportunities and spaces of common ground for the community to come together. Now, what we don't say on the website is creating common ground that are safe spaces so we can tell them about Jesus in a way that is not frightening or scary or offensive, where we have gained trust and respect and can be the witnesses that Jesus has called us to be. But I got to tell you, Samaria takes some extra effort. You're talking about a pastor who rode to Pennsylvania, invested a day, probably invested way more than one day, to meet John where he was at. Who is in your Judea and Samaria? Who have you hesitated to talk to Jesus about, but God has put you in that space for that exact reason? Because somebody else needs to stop testifying about hang gliders and start testifying about Jesus. And whatever the hang glider is for them, are you willing to meet them there and spend the time to be in relationship, to let that empowered witness transform their lives? Did you hear John said it led him to one of the most powerful things he has ever done or experienced? Guys, we're not going to Samaria and Judea to sell skillets or the latest fitness program or the latest phone thing. We're called to go to Judea and Samaria to offer life. To offer life. Because without Jesus, it is sin and death. And we have the gift of life. And that is what we are empowered to share. Wheels are turning all over the room. Who is in your Judea and Samaria? Who do you need to be intentional with? Because it takes intentionality to go to them. And by the way, we were all of them. Some of us still are. Who do you need to be intentional with? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you will receive power to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I don't know what your individual ends of the earth are, okay? Because again, it's not as much about the going as it is about the discipling. But we still go wherever we go, as we go, we disciple. And as a church, we have the opportunity to partner with Impacto Ministries. And for us, the ends of the earth starts with a trip to Guatemala. Starts with a trip to Guatemala. Pastor Jessica mentioned it. That's going to be the 3rd through the 10th of February next year, 2024. 3 weeks from today, we're going to have an information meeting after church. Bring your lunch. Go buy a lunch. Come back. We're going to talk about it. We're going to hang out with the abuelitos, which is the grandparents. And we're going to do happy tummies, which is feed kids. But we're going to share the love of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we're going to have a great time doing it. And you know what I have learned about missions trips over the years? It's a life-changing experience, more for us than for the people that we think we're going to be missionaries to. And so I want to encourage you to come and find out about that in a couple weeks, if you're at all prompted in your heart. Some of you weren't, and that's okay, because there's Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria all around us. Let's get back to the disciples. Be back for them in that moment. Not only is the Holy Spirit going to come and going to stay, they're supposed to go and wait. By the way, when Jesus says go and wait, that means he's leaving. For real, for good. And can you imagine the fear for them in that? Like, he came back. And now he's telling us to go away because he's going to go again. And he's promised the Holy Spirit, but that's a lot. And then, as good little Jewish boys and girls who believe that the Jews are the way, it's how you got to do it, Jesus upends their world and says, Jerusalem, yes, but Judea and Samaria, you know, the Samaritans that you hate, them. And to the very ends of the earth. You see, that is just mind-blowing for them. Like, Jesus radically shifts everything in that moment. Because while it's going to take Peter a while to figure out he's supposed to minister to the Gentiles, Jesus just said it's not just for Jewish little boys and girls anymore. It's for the whole world, and it's on you. It's on you to go tell them about me. And I think if we're really going to understand what it is to be empowered to witness, we have to understand and recognize that God's message is for everyone, everywhere. God's message is for people on every side of the political aisle. God's message is for dictators outside of this country. God's message is for gay people and straight people. It's for the LGBTQ community. It is for people who have grown up in church and are in God's version of the vision of marriage. Biblical vision, not defined by the government. But God's message is for everybody. God's message isn't for just the people we like that look like us. It is for the drug addict. It isn't just for the person who worked really hard and got their degree and checked all the boxes and did all the things. It's for the person who is still homeless, down and out on their luck, still can't figure it out, still can't figure out how to get food the next day, still can't figure out how to get their life together. God's message is for them. We have been called to bridge the gap in this community. We as a church have been called to bridge the gap between black and white, between rich and poor, between military and civilian. All those divides exist here. But the number one gap we have been called to bridge as a church is the gap between death and life. And that is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so today, I'm going to tell you, we're empowered to be witnesses, but we're empowered to witness to all people for all time what Jesus has done for me and for you and for us, so that we can invite them into life. Are we okay, church? Amen. What do we do with that? That's a lot. I think it had to be a lot for them. You know what's even better? If we go back to the disciples in the moment, Jesus says this, and then it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud from their sight, like hidden in a cloud from their sight. Like Jesus drops the biggest bombshell there is after the empty tomb, and then whoop, he's gone. They're just standing there. Like the scripture literally says two men, and then it's an angel has to say, hey, snap out of it. He told you to go somewhere. That's what you need to do. Quit looking at the cloud. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It is scary to be called to be a witness. I know, but it's going to be all right. What did Jesus tell him to do? Verses 12 to 14, it says, the apostles returned to Jerusalem. They arrived. They went upstairs where they were staying. There was Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, not Judas, the other Judas. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Jesus said, I'm calling you to be my witnesses. And until the Spirit comes, which we all have the Holy Spirit if we're believers, but while you're waiting for your moment in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, while you're waiting for the opportunities, while you're praying about where to go and to be intentional, you obey, you pray, and you anticipate. That's what I see from them. This rocked their world. They didn't have any of what we know. But they obeyed what Jesus told them to do. They prayed without ceasing. And they anticipated. Because, y'all, if they weren't anticipating, they weren't going to stick around, okay? They were going to go back to fishing. Like, they've tried that already, right? They anticipated. And I have to ask us, as we prepare for next Sunday, as we look forward to baptism, as we move towards our third year in this community where God has said, you're really gonna begin to witness now. It's not just about meeting people where they're at. You've established yourself with some credibility. Now it's time to talk about who I am a whole lot more. For us, what do we do with that? We wait and we pray and we anticipate. For some of us in this room or in the family online, you may still be dropping in on a Sunday when the weather's not so great for whatever it is that you want to do. And I want to tell you, Jesus died for you. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to offer you life. And if there was nobody else on the planet, God himself would do that for you. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, because before you can make disciples, you got to be a disciple. Before you can witness to what Jesus in your life has done, you need to experience what Jesus will really do for you. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, then I want to invite you to do that. Like, it's not complicated. There's no incantation. There's no exact specific words. We're even terrible at counting it, which is why y'all got an email asking, right? Because it's not about the numbers on the paper. It's about, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And that is as simple as saying, yes, God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to die for my sins. And I admit my need for him. And I commit my life to follow him. But you know what? Even the committing can sound really scary, and really it's as simple as saying, I accept the gift of life that Jesus gave me. For some of you, you have made that step, but you've been in and out, or there's something that's compelling you to the next step, which is baptism. Because the Great Commission, go, right? And it's not go, it's wherever you go, as you go. Make disciples, baptizing them. And baptism is an outward expression of an inward work. Baptism is when you're ready to say, okay, I'm not going to be a closet Christian anymore. I'm ready to wear Jesus. By the way, that doesn't mean you'll be perfect at it. None of us are. It just means I'm ready for the next step. And if that's you, can I invite you into baptism? We're going to have a baptism service in 2 weeks. And maybe your step today is to commit that person that is in your Jerusalem or your Samaria to your mind and say, I'm ready to step out. And by the way, God, I cannot do it on my own because I'm scared or I don't know what to say. And I just want to remind you that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would equip and empower you. That is what we have all the power for, to be witnesses. I want to invite you to stand with me as we pray. And I am going to ask, because this is an important moment, for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. If you are saying yes to Jesus for the first time today, if you are in our family online, please take a moment to respond in that chat box. If you are saying, yes, Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe you were the one who came to save me from my sins, to pay the price, and I want to accept the gift of eternal life. I believe in you as the Son of God. I don't know anything else, but I've got that. If that is you, would you raise your hand today? Would you say yes to Jesus today? If you are ready to take the next step of baptism, if you are ready to be buried to your old self and risen to new life in Jesus Christ, yes, ceremonially, but the symbolism and the moment in your life is profound and transforming. And if you are ready to take that next step of freedom, would you raise your hand and let us know that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you. We are not worthy, and yet you gave everything for us. Holy Spirit, I ask now, as you have indwelled every believer, that you would make vividly clear in our minds who is in our Jerusalem, who is in our Judea and Samaria. Are you calling us to go to the ends of the earth, to Guatemala, to wherever? God, even now, Ryan, who is on a missions trip across the globe for 8 months, God, right now, Holy Spirit, indwell him with such power and such testimony for witnessing. And would you do that for each of us? Let us be accountable to be your witnesses, which is simply to give a reason for the hope that we have, and help us to be intentional about doing it. God, we love you. We obediently and with great prayer have expectation of what you are going to do in this community, in us and through us, by the power of your Spirit, what you are going to do in the lives, the spheres of influence around this room, whether that be at medical school or at the Pentagon or at the elementary school or the high school, whether it be at the coffee shop or on 495. In us and through us, to you be all the glory. Forever and ever. And the church together said, amen. Amen.